95.3 WWCU. In lieu of regular programming, we have Dr. Robert Young, the director of the Program for the Study of Developed Shorelines, here to discuss Hurricane Helene. As a director, Dr. Young studies coastal science, looking at flood hazards, rising sea levels, coastal storm impacts, and coastal erosion.
So, Dr. Young, we knew Hurricane Helene was going to be large before it came, but nobody expected it to hit Western North Carolina as hard as it did. Do you think there was any way for us to prepare for what happened?
Yes. And I will say, you know, I think that while you're absolutely right, a lot of folks are sort of stunned by what's happened. But the Greenville-Spartanburg National Weather Service was telling us that this was going to be a historic event 5 days before it got here. It's just, you know, if you live in a place where you've never seen this level of precipitation and flooding, you probably can't really wrap your head around it. And I'm not sure that those of us who communicate flood risk did a good enough job getting that through to people. But the National Weather Service nailed it. So we knew long before that there was going to be a heck of a lot of rain and that there was going to be historic flooding in a significant portion of Western North Carolina. In addition to that, the state produces flood maps and the federal government produces flood maps, and it's all available online, as so many things are these days. And believe it or not, most of those flood maps actually did a pretty decent job of outlining where the water could be during an event like Helene. Take Marshall, North Carolina, for example, in Madison County, you know, not too far from Asheville. And Marshall's been getting a lot of attention because you can sort of get there, and the entire downtown was underwater, and they lost some buildings. But in the flood mapping that we have, it showed that all of those buildings were in a flood zone. And the flood maps also give us something called the base flood elevation. So it predicts about how high the water could get, you know, during, in this case, a 100-year flood event. And Helene only exceeded that flood level by 2 feet, which is not a ton. So, you know, the moral of the story is that in actuality, we should have known that this is possible. You know, we've had some of the risk materials available for a while, and the National Weather Service was screaming their heads off that there was going to be a lot of rain. And we really have to take a hard look at why so many people died when we have a reasonable understanding for how some of this works. And, you know, I get it. We, in most places, we haven't seen something like this since 1916. I don't remember that. You guys remember that?
No, definitely not.
So, yeah, we have short memories, but the information was available. We just, I guess, weren't communicating it well enough, and people weren't internalizing that information in a way that they really should have.
So we've seen before what hurricanes can do when they come in from the coast. How unusual is it for hurricanes to just hit the mountains the way that it did?
I mean, again, I think it's both of those things. It is an unusual event. You know, this doesn't happen every year. Although something similar happened 3 years ago during the remnants of Tropical Storm Fred right over in Waynesville in Haywood County. People died as a storm swept down the valley. So that should have been a little micro warning that we got, you know, 3 years ago before this particular storm. So, you know, I don't want folks to be able to dismiss our responsibility for living wisely in the floodplain in the mountains by just saying, oh man, this was a ridiculous event that nobody could have prepared for. This is the new normal in a world with changing climate, with a warmer atmosphere and a warmer Gulf of Mexico, and you warm the atmosphere a little bit and it can hold way more rain than it used to be able to hold, and some of that rain's going to get up here to the mountains. So we have to take responsibility for understanding where the places are that are at risk of flooding, and also this understanding that climate's changing and these kinds of events may be more common in the future than they were in the past.
Earlier, you mentioned that you've been in this field for a couple of years now. How many hurricanes have you seen the aftermath of?
Yeah, so a couple is like 30. So a lot. One of the things that we do at the at our center is to go to the places of hurricane impacts, not during the storm, by the way. That would be stupid. I'll let Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel do that. We go afterwards and try and learn lessons from the impacts. And we also try and talk to regular folks who have been impacted to try and urge the development of better policies that takes care of the people who get harmed the most. And so it is pretty weird for somebody who lives in the mountains because, it's safer here to be in the middle of one of the storms that I usually have to travel to cover.
Based on your previous experiences with hurricanes, could you maybe guesstimate how long it would take for Western North Carolina to rebuild from Hurricane Helene?
I mean, this is a really different setting than the coast of Florida or the coast of North Carolina. Getting into some of the remote valleys and the communities that have been damaged along, say, North Carolina Route 9, heading towards Lake Lure. I mean, the road is gone. It's just gone in so many places. It is going to take a long time for us to recover from this. Some places are never going to entirely recover. You also hope that we take the time while we're rebuilding to do it smarter so that there isn't as much harm the next time, right? I mean, I've seen some hashtags out there like WNC strong, or Asheville strong. Well, I'm trying to circulate the hashtag WNC smart. Let's not rush into just putting everything right back where it was, exactly like it was. And then we're all going through this again 10 years from now, which is a possibility. I'm really hoping that we take the time to build back, not just quickly, but better.
After this hurricane, do you think we should prepare better in the future? And what would that involve? Also, do you think there might be areas where we shouldn't rebuild again?
Yeah, well, that's the scary question, isn't it? I mean, that's usually not what people want to talk about. People will just want to put everything back the way it was. But let's take the Asheville River Arts District as an example. It's a pretty broad floodplain there. It was a wonderful place. It was both sort of glittery and grimy at the same time. But there's been extensive damage there, extensive flooding. So, what do we put back? And does it have to be there in that 100-year floodplain? I mean, a lot of it probably doesn't have to be where it was. And those are the hard questions to ask. And, it's not my job to tell all these little local communities what they shouldn't do, although there is a lot of public money flowing in. So with the federal money that comes in and the state money, we should expect that some of that money will be used in a way to lessen the damage next time. The general answer to your question is we probably shouldn't put everything back. In some places, there aren't a whole lot of choices. If you're a tiny little town in a place with a steep valley and that town is still going to exist, you're just going to have to do your best and engineer the buildings as strong as possible and elevate them a little bit if you can. But there are certainly some places where we probably don't have to put the stuff back in the floodplain where it was.
So in Asheville, we kind of saw a lot of things floating down the street and rivers, including houses. What causes a house to just pick up and start floating down the river like that?
Well, so one thing I think it's really important for everybody to remember, if we take it like a little bit of a step back, so much of our infrastructure in Western North Carolina is located in the floodplain because it was developed decades and more than a century ago, right? And the rivers were the places where we put mills, We put dams. We were using the water for energy and for power. The railroads are going along the river because you can't put the railroads over the top of every mountain, and it's expensive to go through them. So these are our transportation arteries, and around the railroads built up warehouses and towns. I mean, here in Jackson County, they moved the county seat from Webster, which, by the way, is in a really safe place, to Silva along Scott's Creek because the railroad went through there. So we have this legacy of development in the floodplains, and a lot of those buildings are old. And so they're really sensitive to the floodwaters. If you've got old brick buildings, old warehouses, and you have flooding, they are more likely to go down the river than something that we just built a few years ago. One hopes that the new construction is significantly better. So that's one thing. But also in our floodplains in the mountains, we tend to put a lot of low-income housing there. Trailers, manufactured homes, things that are not elevated. They're sitting on a slab. They're sitting at grade. And a lot of those went down the river. And one hopes that there weren't people in those places when they went down the river. But my fear is that there were in many instances. So, you know, it's this complicated mix of the legacy of how the mountains were settled by us and the fact that that's where the flatland is. And in some areas, that's where you can stick a trailer really easily for people who have trouble finding affordable housing, which, if you haven't noticed, is an issue in this part of the world.
In coastal communities after hurricanes, they dredge sand from the bottom of the ocean to rebuild beaches. Is this something we can or would even need to do with our rivers?
So there's really not a lot that you can do in the mountains to try and block the flooding in the same way that folks try to do in a futile effort to lessen flooding in places like Florida. One of the neat things about storms like this that we have to remember, speaking of sand and changing the topic, is that these are natural events. So flooding like this isn't necessarily a natural disaster. It's a human disaster. If you drive along the Tuck now, I encourage you to do so, you'll see that there are piles of sand along the side of the river. The flood takes the sand from the center of the river, puts it up on the sides, and builds little levees. And that sandy area is perfect for native river cane, Arundinaria gigantea. What the heck is that, you're saying? Well, it's like the only native bamboo in the United States of America, and the eastern band of the Cherokee use it to make river cane baskets that sell for thousands of dollars. That stuff is the natural habitat for river cane. So if we didn't have occasional floods of the rivers, we wouldn't have those floodplains, those levees, and the natural habitat for that river cane. So there are actually species that are adapted to these disturbances and to these flood events. The one species that's really not very well adapted is us.
Do you think the damage that we saw from Hurricane Helene was caused more by wind or water, or do you think it was just a good combination of both?
The spectacular damage that everybody's looking at and talking about is water. It's all water, you know. I mean, the wind knocked some trees down. Wind is responsible for a lot of the power outages, lack of internet, things like that. But it's, you know, it's the water that has caused the major disruptions that everybody's focusing on.
Hurricane Milton is gaining strength and preparing to hit Florida. Do you think there's any cause for concern here in Western North Carolina?
No, none of the models are showing Milton getting anywhere close to the state of North Carolina, not even at the coast. I mean, there may be some swells, some larger waves, but Milton is forecast to cross the Florida Peninsula and then just keep going east, basically. And so far, the model forecast for the storm have been right on. So, yeah, I don't think we have to worry about Milton, but the folks in Florida have a lot to worry about right now.
Do you think there's anything that we missed or that you would like to discuss or mention?
I don't think so. There's a football game this weekend, and and we're all allowed to go. So yeah, everybody should go to the WCU Citadel game. We're still not having classes. I know you don't have any homework. So go to the game Saturday. That's the only thing you forgot to say.
All right, so thank you so much, Dr. Young, for talking to us. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. And until then, stay safe and stay informed. I'm Deanna.
And I'm Mara. This has been 95.3 WWCU. We are Western Carolina University.